In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with Volume 6, July 22nd, 1904. And Jesus is speaking to Louisa, and he says, when the divine light does not see stability in her will, in Louisa's will, it does not administer to her the necessary light in order to avoid something or to do something else. So here, the human will is so miserable. This is what Adam chose instead of God's holy divine will. The human will is so miserable that when it's not one with God in God's holy divine will, this divine light of God does not administer to the soul the necessary lights in order to avoid something or do something else. At the most, there might be some moments of misfortune, abandonments by creatures or some other circumstances such that it seems that the soul would want to undo herself for God and to change life. Okay. This is sin. Sin wants to separate itself from God. The holiness of our God wants to reign in us. But since we have a free will, and since we are a fallen state because of Adam, with the original sin, even though we have been redeemed, there are moments of misfortune, abandonments by the creatures, or some other circumstances, as Jesus says, that it seems that the soul would want to undo herself for God to change life. But as soon as the wind of circumstances changes, immediately her human will changes. So again, it's Jesus tells Louisa, it's like we're in grass in the wind. It's always blowing one way or the other. And in this stability in God is not there. And our God is trying to bring us back to himself the way he originally planned for Adam and his children. So what the Son of God did, what the Mother of God did when they came to earth was to bring us back to that universal life, that Catholic life. And when we look at the lives of the saints, we see that their struggle, their striving to do the will of God, kept them on this narrow path, if you want to say, to be close to God. And today we're at this point where all the heresies that the church has gone through are being, it's hitting the church again. And it's not just one after in one century. It's everything. Everything's hitting the church. And because of the internet, many people are hearing for the first time heresies that were put to rest by the saints. And so what happens is this disorder is worldwide. And why is this happening at this time? Jesus tells Louisa, because the kingdom is coming. And God has to say to humanity, what do you want? I have to give you what you want. And with all that's happening, what's the fastest growing religion today? And it's Satanism. People want this rebellion. They feel this wanting to go against God. And so Jesus says this. So instead of will and light, instead of God's will and light, it can be said that there is a mixture of passions according to the changes in the winds. So what's happening today, and we're seeing it in our families, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners, we're seeing it in everyone, this watering down of Catholicism, of Christianity. you really don't need this. You really don't need that. You know, you got to think on your own. You got to be, and discernment. This is the sad part about discernment. A person can't discern on his own. He will always choose something the wrong in one way or another. And we see the fall of humanity continually happening by people going against the discernment. See, the church can discern. The Holy Spirit can give the church, the leaders of the church, this understanding. And it sometimes takes a little while for that to happen. But the Holy Spirit is the one who discerns clearly. A human separated from, you know, the church, the body of Christ, can't discern clearly. As Saint Teresa said, if a person is their own spiritual director, they will direct themselves into hell. What we've seen is over and over and over again, people saying, well, I disagree with this in the church, or I disagree with that in the church, and they break away and they form their own denomination. And this is why there's 40,000 denominations, much more than that, more than likely. And each person says, I am the Pope. Therefore, I am going to decide what I believe to be true or not. And that fracture that's happening, Jesus says, one day we'll be one church, one flock, one shepherd. The Lord is going to do this. And this is the time that we're in. And when you read the book of heaven, you see that Jesus tells us very clearly what's coming for the church, what's coming for the world. And it's not doom and gloom. God is going to reign. God is going to win. Our job on earth is to surrender to God. This docility, this submission, this surrender is necessary for this divine light to reign in us. Again, obedience is always essential. Adam was disobedient. Adam was unfaithful. And what the evil one says is, God really didn't say that. Man said that. God didn't say that. A lot of people with confession, for example, confession is a great healing sacrament. I've seen many people healed by confessing their sins. And what the Lord wants is God knows everything, but he wants us to be aware of it. This is why confession is necessary, to know the truth. And this is what Jesus says to Louisa: the greatest thing I can do for humanity is to let them know who they are and who I am. This is the illumination of conscience that's coming. People are going to see how they have fooled themselves. I remember I was in Japan listening at a conference once, and they said, you're going to see how we've kept the demons alive in our life, but not having the Lord of our life. And it's very, very clear, you know, when you are worried, when you're worry, you're keeping the demon of worry alive in you. Jesus says, does worry add one moment to your life? He said to the apostles, he says, of course it does. And then he said, stop worrying. That's a command from Jesus. Stop worrying. So if you're afraid, a lot of people are brought up terrified, you know, through trauma in childhood or whatever. And this fear is they're always afraid. They're always afraid. And what does scripture say? Tell us, you know, love casts out all fear. When we trust in God, when we believe in God, when we hope in God, we are free of worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin, even to sin, to the point of sin. That's what God is asking of us. Are you willing to give up everything that the fallen human nature is drawn to? Stop feeding the demons. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints. I told you, complaining is a lot of people think it's a gift. And so they love to complain. And that's not life. That's misery. The devil says, look what they're doing. Look what they're doing. Look what they're doing, you know? And that complaining, that negativity gets to the point where the love of God is not there, because we don't look at ourselves. How am I acting? What am I thinking? What am I saying? What am I doing? And this is what confession does. When you have a good examination of conscience before confession, you can have a good confession. And when you have a good confession, you are full of grace. That the absolution of the priest is so essential to hear it. I absolve you from all your sins. It's humans need to hear that. And so what does Jesus do when he rises from the dead? First thing he says to the apostles, you know, basically is, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. Whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. This glorious gift. And then the Eucharist, I mean, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. He says, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. And he said, the word he used was chew it. You must eat this, manja. You must eat this. He was born in a manger. You know, he was laid in a manger, you know, and to be our food. Our life with the sacraments is, Jesus says, this is the healing, the medicine that I give to humanity until I return. He says, the sacraments are so essential for us. So Jesus says this, the passions according to the changes of the wind, you know, it's the evil one. He's the Lord of the earth. And that's coming to an end. This is the time we're living in. We're seeing the evil all around us being faced with the light, the love, the life of God. And Jesus says the stability alone is what reveals the progress of divine life within the soul. So the stability is knowing, loving, serving God for the last 2,000 years with the saints, and now knowing, loving, and possessing God the way Adam did in the beginning. So this new and divine way of holiness that Pope St. John Paul II told us is coming is here for those who want it as much as you want or as little as you want. So as we read the Book of Heaven, what happens is your defenses of wanting to have this mixture of passions falls apart. It's slowly, it's like water off a duck's back. It slowly disappears. Why? The kingdom is coming. When the kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven, the evil one who has been banished from heaven, when heaven comes to earth, the fulfillment of the Our Father, this is what we're praying for the last 2,000 years. When that happens, a new and divine way of holiness is going to enter humanity. And it's really not new. It's the oldest thing. It's the way Adam lived before the fall. So since God is immutable, one who possesses God shares in his immutability in good, in goodness. See, God wants us, he says to Adam when he breathed the image and likeness of God in Adam with the Ruah of God, the breath of God, when this happened, God says, this is what I want. I want my children to resemble me. And Jesus says that. The Father looks at us and he says, my children don't resemble me yet. And I want them to resemble me. Image and likeness. So this image and likeness now is understandable by looking at the life of Jesus and Mary, studying the life of Jesus and Mary. As we enter into the new Adam, Jesus, and the new Eve, Mary, we begin to understand why God wants us to be one with him, fused with him. This light, this love, this life of God is why God created us. He wanted to share with us who he is, what he is about. We don't become gods. We're creatures. But Jesus says, I made the human senses for God. He wants to gaze in our gazing. We surrender our sight to to the Lord. He wants to hear in our hearing. We surrender our hearing to the Lord. All our senses, we surrender to the Lord, where the evil one says, no, you're in charge. You do what you want. And that leads everyone at that point to hell, who surrenders to the evil one. So our job is to draw closer to God through the Catholic faith, through the sacraments and the sacramentals. The more that we surrender to God, this docility, this submission that is hated today by the world, when we surrender to God, how happy we are. We are in the arms of God. And this is why when you read the volumes, when you listen to Jesus, he always wants to hold Louisa. He's the father. Louisa's the little newborn. Jesus is always kissing Louisa as a father kisses his little newborn. If this is not romantic, and then when the roles are reversed, when Louisa is holding Jesus, Jesus is the little baby and Louisa is the mother, like the Blessed Mother, image and likeness, that's happening. So she's holding the baby Jesus, kissing him, holding him. God wants to be held. We could see this with the nativity. And when we look at the novena, the Christmas novena, when we read the Christmas novena, what happens there? Our God is showing us how much he loves us. The 9 days of different love, if you want to say, the 9 days of intense love is given to humanity. And Louisa went through that. She went through the 9 days every day. The novena every day for 9 months. And from March 25th to December 25th. And her reward was to be in Bethlehem at the nativity of Jesus. And Our Lady hands the baby Jesus to Louisa, hold him. That was her reward. That was her blessing by learning more and more about the love of God. And the love of God isn't human, it's divine. And this is why it reveals the progress of the divine life in the soul, within the soul, is the one who possesses God, because God is immutable, shares in his immutability in good. This is image and likeness. This is what God has planned for us. Volume 6, August 6, 1904. My daughter, all other tribulations can be penances, expiations, compensations, but only the privation is pain of fire. So this is where God is leading us, to long for him. This is why we have Louisa, always longing for him. God is saying, this is what I love, the privation, longing for God, seeking God, looking for God, asking for God. The privation is a pain of fire that ignites, consumes, and annihilates. So this is what God is showing us. He's showing us we don't love him enough. We don't love him to possess this gift of the divine will. We don't love him enough yet. We haven't learned enough. So he says privation, this pain of fire, ignites, consumes, and annihilates, does not give up until it sees the human life destroyed. What does that mean? What's the human life? What's the human will? Worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, to the point of sin. That has to go. That's what Jesus is teaching us. So this longing for Jesus, I mean, do we long for Jesus to see him in the Blessed Sacrament? Do we go out of our way to be with Jesus? There was a time, you know, we were taught, you know, by the nuns way back when you went by the church, you would bless yourself. By every Catholic church, you'd bless yourself. The sisters taught us that if you could, the better thing is to go into church to kneel in front of the Blessed Sacrament for just a moment to thank God for being being here as our food, as our life, as our all. Who does that today? We just drive right past churches. This longing for Jesus has really disappeared. This privation, Jesus says, that I will give you is a pain of fire that ignites, consumes, and annihilates and does not give up until it sees the human will gone. See, the Jesus says, I made the universe for man, but I made man the human will for God. God wants to reign in us. He wants to be the Lord of our life, not just our personal Lord and Savior, but he wants to gaze in our gazing. He wants to think in our thinking, beat in our heart beating, walk in our walking, dance in our dancing. When we dance, it should be like David, dancing for in honor and praise and joy of God when he danced in front of the ark. When we sing, it should be for the glory of God. When you listen to songs, I love to change the words in songs when they are singing about whatever, roping cattle to, you know, being with God. I just to change the words to praise him, to love him, to glorify him is what God is looking for in his children. This privation that he gives is essential until it sees the human will not in charge anymore. God's will is in charge. But while it consumes, it vivifies and constitutes divine life in it. See, this zeal that God wants to breathe into us the divine zeal. He wants to breathe into us this longing for him that Adam had, that Jesus had as the new Adam, Mary had as the new Eve. I mean, think about when the angel came to the Blessed Mother. You know, the angel said, you are going to be the mother of God. She goes, how can I do this? You know, I've made a vow of virginity. I'm not going to know man. How can this happen? How could I become the mother? And the angel said, it will be through the power of the Holy Spirit. And she says, okay, let it be done to me as you say. I am the slave girl of the Lord. Let it be done as you have planned, as you wish, as you want, as God wants. This docility, this surrender, and it is not here on earth at this point. So God is asking us, would you stand in the breach for all of humanity, praying in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, so the kingdom can be established in us on earth, this dust, as it is in heaven. Are you willing to do that? Jesus says. And Louisa says, yes, yes. It consumes, it vivifies, and it constitutes divine life in the soul. This is what God is waiting for. He's waiting for us to learn from Louisa, to long for God to the point of fire, consuming and annihilating everything that is not of God. This longing for God is what God, I mean, in your plans for the day, I mean, just think about it. Are you praying the rosary? Are you looking at the life of Jesus and Mary? Is your memory of the life of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve? That's what the rosary is about. In your plans for today, is the Holy Mass scheduled? Do you look? And it's more difficult now. When I was young, we had a morning mass and an evening mass in basically every parish. Now to find a mass, you gotta travel a little bit farther than your own town sometimes. So is that part of your life? The Holy Eucharist, being with Jesus, adoration, is that part of your life? Finding a church that has Eucharistic adoration and being there. And when you can't be there, you have it on the internet if you wish. Is it part of your life longing for God? Is it a fire that ignites, consumes, annihilates what is human? Sunday. Is Sunday a day of the Lord? Is it the Lord's day? Or is it another Saturday where you can have all your sports? you think about the sports, this is something that's very interesting. Look at when sports began. Most of them that we have today began after Louisa was born. Most of the sports were made after 1865. Most of them. Where Sunday, their god or gods is sports. It's not the Lord anymore. It's not keep holy the Sabbath. It's not making that day the Lord's day. You know, one of the things that try to do this with your family, turn off the TV on Sunday. No sports. I want to sacrifice the sports. I remember one time when I was fasting during Lent. It was like the first week, and I opened the refrigerator and there's some fruit. And I went, I hate to waste stuff. Jesus says, you know, collect everything so nothing goes to waste. You know, so I took this fruit. And I said, hell, I got to eat it. I don't want to. And I ate the fruit. And it was very clear. The Lord showed me, he says, do you know what sacrifice means? And I went, yeah, but I didn't want to waste it. He says, do you know what sacrifice means? And to sacrifice is to consume. It's not with your mouth, but to set on fire and to have it be a sacrifice to the Lord. I mean, that's the Old Testament. You can sacrifice fruit. Wasting and sacrifices are two different things. When you're praying, when you're fasting, when you're doing penance, it's okay to sacrifice. It's okay. It's you don't have to make sure that you waste nothing. But in the future, when the time of fasting comes, make sure that the refrigerator is rather empty before you start fasting. You know, it's like people say, well, I had to go to the gas station to get gas on Sunday. Well, make sure, since Sunday is the holy day, get gas for your car on Saturday, if you can. If it not Saturday, Friday, if you can. If not Friday, Thursday. I mean, it's you want to keep holy the Sabbath, you know. And again, it consumes, it vivifies and constitutes divine life when you're longing for God. The divine life is what God wants in us. Volume 6, March 28th, 1905. In fact, in each soul, Jesus says, I, God, form a divine life. And if you go to the internet and you look at under the microscope, when the sperm hits the egg, a divine light flashes. I mean, this is God. Here, a soul is created when the sperm and the egg meet. This flash of light, this I, God, in each soul form a divine life. This is my child. This is where I'm going to dwell. This is God's plan. And if the soul is disturbed, this divine life that I keep forming also remains disturbed. Okay, so think about it. Most people go through trauma in life, and that trauma affects the soul. A lot of people who go through trauma as when they're younger are always afraid. Even there's a loud sound and you jump, oh my goodness. Yeah, it's almost like you're not used to it. I've seen other people who really, it doesn't seem like they've gone through trauma. There's a loud explosion and they just slowly look like, what was that? There's no fear. There's no terror. So he says, in each soul that I form a divine life, if the soul is disturbed, this divine life that I keep forming is also remains disturbed. So Jesus knows this. Jesus knows everything that you've gone through. He wants to heal you, but divinely heal you. He wants you to be peaceful, full of peace, joy, full of joy and happy. That's heaven. May your kingdom come on earth, this dust as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God is within you, Jesus says. So Jesus is, he knows what we've all gone through. He wants to form us in his divine life, divine light, divine love. And therefore, he's also healing us. And like I said earlier, it's the sacraments and sacramentals. A friend of mine, he's a good priest. When he has trouble, when things are difficult, he goes in front of the Blessed Sacrament and he says to the Lord, I'm not leaving until this is solved. And he says, God always solves it for him. He solves the situation that this priest is in by being with the Lord. And it's almost as if the trauma that he went through in his life is now, he's blessed. How? By spending time with our Eucharistic Lord. Just by being with God, looking at God, loving God. Your time in purgatory is shortened and your place in heaven is higher. Just by being with the Lord. He's healing us. He's freeing us from all that we've gone through, all the trials and everything. And this is, he says, not only do I keep this divine life that I want to reign in you, not only this, but when the soul is disturbed, it never comes to being completely perfect, completed perfectly, as he says. Not only this, he wants to, this is what he says to Luisa, I want each of my children to become my divine masterpiece, a masterpiece for God. He wants to look at us and be in ecstasy of what he has created. That means all anxiety, no more feeding these demons. Now, no more keeping them alive. See, every time you're worried, you keep it alive. You keep worry alive in you until you say, enough. This is enough. I don't want this anymore. I don't want this part of my life. And it's a discipline that we go through that God is doing. This disturbed life that's in each and every one of us be divinely healed with divine life, divine love, divine light. He says, I want to bring my children to perfection. Be perfect as your Heavenly Father, be perfected as your Heavenly Father is perfect. How can that happen? He's showing us with this great gift of the divine will. It's ours if we wish. Divine will is surrender. So you're going to the Lord and say, you're the Lord. I'm not in charge anymore. You're in charge of my life. Let it be done as you say. It's echoing our Blessed Mother. It's echoing Jesus. Father, not my will, but your will be done. It's echoing Luisa. Jesus says, you have to learn the fiat voluntas tua. May your kingdom reign in this dust, this earth, as it is in heaven. Volume 6, April 11th, 1905. Indeed, that of the soul which pleases me the most is perseverance. So this climbing the mountain, which we're doing, this seeking God, this climbing the mountain is you persevere in climbing. Yes, there's thorn bushes around and there's slips and your elbows are scraped, your knees are scraped, but we still continue to climb. That of the soul which pleases God the most is perseverance. We don't give up. Yes, we're going to fail. We're going to get hurt. It's going to be tough, but we keep on moving. We keep on going to the top, climbing that mountain. See, Jesus says, because perseverance is the seal of eternal life and the development of divine life. When we fail, we go to confession. When we fail, we go to Holy Mass. If it's a venial sin, receiving Holy Communion, you're healed. You're being healed. And again, why do you go to confession and confess the same things over and over and over? Is because we're really slow at learning. We continue to persevere. And when God sees us striving for this perfection himself, striving for him, he frees us of all that is has oppressed us. It's oppression is all around us, and we are an addictive people. We are addicted to food. We're addicted to television. We're addicted to misery. We're addicted to complaining. And so Jesus is teaching us persevere in perfection. And so what has he done? He's given us the book of heaven. As he says, this is the only book that will transform a soul. All the other books are good, maybe holy, saintly, but the only book that will transform a soul is the book of heaven. Why? Jesus is speaking. Mary is speaking. We're listening to Louisa question because these are our questions, Jesus says. Louisa at the end of her life said to Jesus, I'm sorry for all the questions, all the fears, all the anxieties, all the complaints, all the negativities. And Jesus says, you never had that. He said, those questions, those doubts, those worries were from all the people that were going to read the volumes. And I gave you their misery, basically, so that you would give it to me and I would answer you so that you could answer them. What we put Louisa through, when we think about it, what we put Louisa through, I mean, it's really the poor thing. All our worry, all our fear, all our anxiety, all our complaints, all our negativity, as we read the book of heaven, was given to Louisa. And that's why Jesus says, all your answers, all your questions are going to be answered in the book of heaven. God is, it's not Louisa that's complaining. I hear so many people say, all she's doing is whining, whining, whining. You don't see Louisa. You don't hear Louisa. You don't understand Louisa yet. It's her longing for God. It's her pleading out to God our complaints, our negativities. So Jesus is saying, as you persevere, it is the seal of eternal life. You're going to meet God. It's the development of divine life. You're going to be face to face with God one day. And God is getting you ready. That when you think about this life on earth, it's short. It's very, very short. I mean, I look at where did the time go? it was just 25 ago. Speeding up time so that we can be with him eternally. So Jesus says this, in fact, just as God is ever old and ever new and immutable in the same way through perseverance, by having exercised it always, the soul is old. And by her attitude of exercising it, she has ever new. Time. See, we're trapped in time and space at this point. But what does Our Lady of Revelation say to Bruno in 1947? Time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of this era. The kingdom. We sing with joy. Sing joy with hallelujah. You know, today, I mean, this is Advent. And the song that comes to mind in Advent is, come, let us adore him. Spend more time with our Eucharistic Lord. Make that part of your Advent season. Be with Jesus. You know, spend time with Jesus. Look at Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus. Perseverance, exercising it. The soul is old by her attitude of exercising it, and she is ever new, this new and divine way of holiness. And each time she exercises it, she is renewed in God. This renovation that's happening. God is saying to us, he's teaching us through Louisa how to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. That's the prayer to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful. Enkindle in us the fire of your love. That's the divine will. Send forth your spirit and we will be recreated ever new. And then you will renew the face of the earth through us by exercising it. Yes, oldness is here, but ever newness is here. Renewed in God, remaining immutable and without even realizing it. So God is doing this. As we surrender to God, as we allow God to hold us, as Louisa would. As we hold the baby Jesus, which we should, every one of us should have a baby Jesus. And I'm not talking about a little baby Jesus. Oh, I'm holding the baby. But find a infant Jesus that you could hold. It's God wants to be held by us. He wants to hold us. It's this ever new that God wants us to enter into it. And since Jesus says this, he says, through perseverance, the soul continually acquires divine life within herself. We're climbing up. We're getting closer and closer and closer, if you want to say, to God. As we seek him, as we long for him, as we desire him, the perseverance is continuously acquiring divine life within. That this is our life, being one with God, being fused with God. And Jesus says this to Louisa, the more that you want to fuse yourself with Jesus, Mary, fuse yourself with the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you acquire this divine life. By acquiring God, she is sealed, the soul is sealed with eternal life. We're going to make it to the top of the mountain. We're going to do this. This is why we're here. Jesus says, who longs for me? Who desires me? Who seeks me? We could see it with Louisa. Is our love like Louisa? When God looks at us, does he see in us the longing of Louisa that should be in us? We say we're living in the divine will. How much do we long for Jesus? How much do we look for Jesus? How much do we desire Jesus? Perseverance is continuously acquiring divine life within. By acquiring God, the soul is sealed with eternal life. And then Jesus says this, can there be a seal safer than God himself? We belong to God. He shed every drop of blood for us, for our redemption. And now Jesus says, I want to fill you with the Holy Spirit so that you can be one with God, safe with God, fused with God. Everything's happening at this point, and how glorious it is to be alive at this time. Hang on to your hats. It's going to get bumpy. It's going to get steeper, but we're going to still climb. We're not going to slow down. We're not going to turn away. We're going to seek God more. We're going to desire God more. We're going to be fused with God more than ever before. So may the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.